One year ago today, more than 30,000 teachers and other Los Angeles Unified School District workers were ramping up for an historic strike, a strike that would result in more than 300,000 children staying home from school, that would send parents and principals scrambling and drive thousands of United Teachers Los Angeles members to march through pouring rain. After 6 days of school disrupted and after marathon all-night talks at L.A. City Hall, brokered by Mayor Eric Garcetti, LAUSD Superintendent Austin Butte and UTLA leaders finally reached a deal in the very early morning hours of January 22nd. At that early hour, UTLA President Alex Caputo Pearl was ready to walk out of the talks. A deal on a key sticking point, class size reduction, was eluding them.
We had spent the last several hours on this, and I hadn't seen progress, so I was going to leave with my team, and that I would be back in touch with them later in the day. Garcetti then came back about 5 minutes later. I did have a private conversation with him, and he said Buechner was going to give us what we wanted.
That's tape from an interview with Caputo Pearl from last January. You can hear his voice hoarse from chanting and cheering during that lengthy strike. Alex Caputo Pearl will join us later in the hour to look back on the strike and that pivotal moment in the deal that ended it. And we're hoping that you'll join us too. The deal that ended the LAUSD strike lowered class sizes across the district, offered a raise to teachers, and was supposed to provide more support staff to schools. And we want to know if that's made a difference. LAUSD teachers, LAUSD parents, LAUSD students, give us a call. 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722. What do you think is the legacy of the LAUSD strike? What difference did the deal you struck make in your classroom? Have you felt the difference of class size reduction elements in the deal? Have the extra nurses, counselors, librarians your school was promised actually made a difference? Or have the differences been relatively minor? Again, 866-893-KPCC or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Earlier this week, I spoke to LAUSD Superintendent Austin Butner. You're going to hear that conversation now. I also asked him about that dramatic moment that UTLA's leader described, of that breakthrough moment in the contract talks when the two sides resolved a major sticking point and set the stage for a deal.
Well, let's put it in some context. So what was ultimately agreed has essentially been offered before the strike. 6% raise, 6% raise, before and after, reductions in class size. And I think the big leap was, what about 3 or 4 years from now? And we all share a goal to have smaller classes. Our class sizes are too big. To get to smaller class sizes, we're going to have to address the issue of adequacy, and adequacy in funding comes from the state. But to put it in some context, I'm not so sure it was dramatic, other than the media were waiting. Teachers had gone 7 days without pay. All we serve wanted to see our schools reopened, as did we. And since there was alignment going into the strike, there's alignment coming out of the strike, that over the medium to long term, we all wanted to see class sizes reduced materially. We agreed to line up, do the work together, and see if we couldn't make the argument both at the state level and to voters that we need additional funding.
Was that the legacy of this deal, you think, that everyone came together around funding? Or if the legacy is something else, what would you say it was? What is the legacy of this deal?
Well, I hope the legacy of this deal is the conversation about adequacy. You've heard me talk in New York. They invest $29,000 each year to educate a student in K-12 public system. In Los Angeles, we're asked to make do with $16,000. Now, 29 versus 16 is just math on a page, but to put it in human context, over the course of a student's education, K-12, that's about the cost of a reading teacher and an aide. And imagine if we had funding like New York, and we could provide every second grader with their own reading teacher and their own aide, every child becomes proficient. So I hope the legacy is an honest conversation about adequacy and what we need to do to make sure kids in Los Angeles get a great public education.
You mentioned the class size reduction is a really important part of this deal. That's something that, you know, everybody kind of wanted to come together around. It was one of the costliest parts of the deal, which I think fair to say was a hang up for you during much of the process. So far, it's only made classes smaller by a student or two. It did create a stricter cap on class sizes, so it's no longer possible for there to be the odd class with the kids above that limit.
Yeah, Kyle, the material change was in the out years. The reduction in class size for this current school year and next year had already been part of our offer made in September before the strike. So that was essentially unchanged. It was codified, written down. it would have been written down had we had an agreement in September or December, as opposed to concurrent with the strike.
Just to interject that I was supposed to, the teachers would say that that cap, the section 1.5 portion of the agreement was critical. It was critical for, from their perspective, to ensure that they would actually see the class sizes as opposed to there being a safety valve where the district could say, well, and if we need to, we would raise that class size. I'm sure that's what they would say.
Well, but as a practical matter, school districts don't become insolvent. The state takes them over. And the funding is not there to do what you want to do. So we've agreed to do some things in the out years that we have to find the funding to achieve. So whether it says in a contract between the teachers union and Los Angeles Unified, you will do this, that's an aspiration and a goal we share. But there's no enforcement 3 or 4 years from now if the state doesn't provide the funding to do it. Because all our money goes in schools. In this past year, we've cut about $100 million from central office costs, and now 97% of everything we spend is spent at a school. So you and I could mandate anything we wanted in the outer years, and we've agreed on a series of very important goals, what we want to do in the out years, but we've got to go out and make sure the funding is there to deliver on those, because 97% is already being spent at the school.
The mayor called the funding that is included in this deal for, or the promise in this deal to pay for the class size reduction that we've been talking about, as a leap of faith. I guess my question for you is, do you feel that it's been worth that leap of faith? Like, in the instance of class sizes, has the class size reduction made a difference in LAUSD in any way?
But you and I are talking apples and oranges. What was provided for before the strike, what was provided for in the contract for this year and next year, we have the funding to achieve. That doesn't require a leap of faith. We're able to do that. We said that in September. We said it after the strike. Same thing. Words might have changed slightly, but the same context and the same outcome. The leap of faith the mayor refers to is 3-4 years from now, are we able to further and more materially reduce class sizes? That's the leap of faith. Now, are we executing on the promise now? Yes. Class sizes are being made smaller. In certain high-need schools serving high-needs communities, they're being reduced even more. We're making the bureaucracy work for schools. We've moved resource to schools and communities that we serve. We've cut for principals, you know, more than a third of how they spend their time. They used to spend on paperwork. We've cut it by a third. So we're doing things to deliver on the promise of keeping schools at the center of all we do. But the leap of faith the mayor refers to is 3-4 years down the road, and the state's going to have to join us in that because that's where all the funding comes from.
Right. And I apologize if I'm not being clear. I think my question is, do you think the class size reduction, setting aside the question of cost, do you think it's making a difference? Do you think it's making the district better? Or I guess, has it been worth the investment?
Again, so we're clear with each other. Class size in the initial 2 years, this year and next year, was always intended to be relatively modest, with bigger reductions down the road. In what we're doing now, I do believe it is making a difference. We're doing some things, experimenting with some of the class size reductions. So some of our highest needs elementary school, what we've done is add a second teacher in the classroom to help those students who are struggling to become proficient in reading. We have a push-in teacher instead of asking a teacher to handle a load more than she or he might be able to handle. So we're doing some things now. We're starting to see results. We're doing some things around curriculum. We're offering different choices to make sure that we accelerate the pace of progress that we're making in our schools. And if you look back last year, Kyle, the 18-19 school year, we made progress across the board. The first time in a long, long time, LA Unified has seen that. But our goal has to be to accelerate the pace of progress. So yes, progress. The goal has to be to accelerate it.
We're speaking about the end of the LA Unified teachers strike 1 year later. And I want to hear this hour from you, LAUSD parents, LAUSD teachers. I want to hear your thoughts about the deal that ended that strike. Call us and share your thoughts at 866-893-KPCC. Teachers, I want to know if the deal changed in any way, the conditions in your classroom. Did it make a difference, or was it really just more of the same? From LAUSD parents, I want to know similarly, did it affect the education that your children receives? And what about Measure EE and the coalition that was built in the wake of the teacher strike? What lessons should we take away from that as well? Call us and share your thoughts on the legacy of the LAUSD teacher strike. 866-893-KPCC. KPCC. That's 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Right now I'm speaking with LAUSD Superintendent Austin Buettner.
So this deal, as we've been sort of talking about, was a moment of unity, and it kind of culminated with a call for more funding. With so many Angelenos backing striking teachers, there was a hope that that sentiment would carry through to Measure EE. In June, this was a parcel tax proposal to fund schools and fund the strike agreement, you know, specifically was part of the pitch. But the measure didn't pass. I'm curious to know what your takeaway was from that defeat of that ballot measure.
Well, I think we've work to do because we have a community of haves and have-nots. So the haves live in a different world, have a different experience than the have-nots that we provide a great public education to. So we have to better connect those. I think there are some who doubt that we're using the money we have as well as we can. I think some of the cuts we've made, some of the focus on restoring the school at the center of the work, will bring those skeptics along with us. But ultimately, the proof is in the doing. And if almost two-thirds of those who work in our schools didn't vote, if more than 80% of Angelenos in the communities we serve didn't vote, that's a referendum perhaps on something else than just the day-to-day work we do in schools. There's a broader referendum, which in Los Angeles, if public education is the common ground on which we stand, where's everybody else? Don't they want to restore that ground? If I give a talk in the public, I'll typically ask show of hands from the audience, who's a public school kid? I raise my hand, I'll look out over the audience, and 90, 95% of the people raise their hands. So when we have 80% of people not vote, that's a referendum on something else, Kyle, and we have to make people help them re-understand or understand better the importance of public education.
You've just said that the district, you know, is going to need to find more funding going forward. As of what the district, you know, submitted in terms of a budget this year, we also know that the district can kind of scrape through the next 3 years without running out of money, but without considering some important future costs, like another salary increase. You said teachers deserve one, and because of the deal's terms, they'd be due for one in just a few months. Is this agreement sustainable at its current level of funding?
If funding stays in the realm of $16,000, $17,000, it doesn't work. We have to get on a path to more adequacy. That hasn't changed. So as we spend down the reserves, as we invest in schools and classrooms, you know, I didn't take this job to increase class size. I didn't take this job to reduce the number of those who work in schools. I took the job to increase the number of work in schools because that's what our students deserve. And that's what's needed for those who do the work in schools. It's not just classroom educators. If I took you to a school and you and I took a tour of the campus with those who have to maintain and clean the school, there's a certain standard, it's a national standard that they aspire to and want to work to. But going back more than a decade, the number of folks who help maintain and clean a school have been reduced so dramatically that they're working beyond what they can do, and we're still not able to get to adequacy in what we want in terms of clean and safe schools. So adequacy has to be the conversation around public education. And at the same time, it's on us with the dollars we have to do the best job we can. And we're trying to balance those two things.
These were really tough negotiations that resolved this strike. Mayor Garcetti has said that there were very few back channels open during those negotiations between your team at LAUSD and UTLA itself during the strike. Both you and Alex Caputo-Pearl seemed quite at odds or frustrated in press conferences while the strike was playing out. I'm curious to know, if you had it to do all over again, is there anything about how the strike played out that you would do differently if you had it to do all over again?
I don't know. I don't spend too much time looking in the rearview mirror. I do wish that we had during the strike a more public conversation about adequacy, because looking back, some may have misconstrued what the district wanted was somehow at odds with what an average
austerity,
teacher wanted.
To name it, austerity would have been the thing that they would say the district
let's
wanted.
Let's look at what was agreed before the strike. The wage increase had been agreed to. Everyone agreed teachers deserve a raise. There was no dispute over that. Everyone agreed we wanted smaller class sizes. So what I wish might have happened or could have happened, and maybe with the transition in gubernatorial administrations and everything else, and the time of year, it was just too difficult to do. I wish we'd taken the energy and the conversation to Sacramento, because all our funding comes from Sacramento. So striking in California against an individual school district to say we don't have adequate resources when the school district says we agree adequate resources are not here. Let's go to where we can get them in Sacramento and see what we can do together. So I guess if I had to do it again or wish it could have gone slightly differently, we would have been on a bus together going to Sacramento to say, state legislature, governor, you provide us with funding, 16,000 doesn't look anything like 29. What's our plan to get to adequacy?
We're speaking about the end of the LA Unified Teachers Strike 1 year later. And I want to hear this hour from you, LAUSD parents, LAUSD teachers. I want to hear your thoughts about the deal that ended that strike. Call us and share your thoughts at 866-893-KPCC. Teachers, I want to know if the deal changed in any way, the conditions in your classroom. Did it make a difference? Or was it really just more of the same? From LAUSD parents, I want to know similarly, did it affect the education that your children received? Call us and share your thoughts on the legacy of the LAUSD teachers strike. 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722 or the AirTalk page at kpcc.org. Right now I'm speaking with LAUSD Superintendent Austin Buettner.
Does the proposed ballot measure that has been supported by labor unions to close the commercial property tax loophole, as they would put it, to reform Prop 13 to bring in more commercial property taxes to fund governments, including schools. Does that achieve the end that you're talking about? Is that the conversation about adequacy? Does that fulfill that desire you're talking about?
Well, let's separate the source of the funds from the need for the funds. We do need more funding. I think the proposed ballot initiative would provide more funding. Whether it gets us all the way to adequate or not, I've not seen the analysis, waiting to see that, so I'll have a more informed point of view down the road. But anything which provides us with more funding to allow us to have cleaner and safer schools, to allow us to have smaller class sizes, to allow us to have that extra reading teacher, math coach, PE coach, that we need in our schools, I think is a good thing, and I would support this particular ballot measure. Haven't seen the final words, haven't seen the analysis, so I'm happy to talk further once I've seen it.
How would you say that the strike changed your job as superintendent? This was a moment that changed a lot of not only the politics, but as we've sort of been discussing, it was a moment of real change in public, you know, perceptions of it. Now, maybe it didn't come, about in the form of a ballot box. But there was this moment that we had around our school system. And I'm wondering how that has, you know, sort of shifted, if at all, your job and your conception of your job as superintendent of this second largest school district in the nation.
Well, I knew going into the job that educators had a decade or more of frustration. So the lack of funding, the scarcity or inadequacy of resources, in many respects, what's happened in staffing of schools is kind of like the frog in the pot of water that's getting warm. So we see it in so many different ways, this public school system being starved of funding, and that was no surprise to me when I took on this role. The challenge is and remains for all of us to get back and understand the importance of public education and be willing to invest in it. And if the strike and the legacy of the strike is an open conversation about adequacy, we were unsuccessful in June, but you get knocked off a horse, you get back up and you try again, because I still think the issue of adequacy is root cause for so many of the frustrations that teachers were expressing, others who work in our schools express, and I was well aware of going into the job. And I see part of my responsibility is to take that coalition, which we put together, the coalition in June, which stood up in support of funding for public education, is the broadest, deepest coalition in support of public education we've seen in almost a generation of Los Angeles. So if
right.
we can keep
you
that...
buried the hatchet with Alex Caputo Pearl, the Charter Association was on board, all kinds of players involved in that coalition.
And so we've continued to build on that progress. What gets left out in this, and maybe it's just the nature of the conversation, is the strike happened in January. We're now approaching next January. Love to have a conversation about what we're doing with schools at the center. Love to have a conversation about how we have created for the first time a simple single platform that has all the information about a student that a teacher can use in the classroom. So they have the complete picture and they don't have to waste time finding out information about that student. Love to talk about the School Information Plus platform that we've launched together with CORE and some of the other school districts in the state are using, which is a complement to the state dashboard, because we're putting more information in the hands of educators and in the hands of families. And I think progress ultimately is made in evolution like this, not revolution. I didn't take the job promising a revolution. I'm not sure I've seen a revolution in public education deliver on its promise, but evolution, and we continue to make things better each day, both inadequacy of funding and how we use the funding we have. I think that's how we restore the promise of public education. But one of my frustrations is where I started, the community has to rejoin us in this conversation. And if somehow the strike comes and goes and the energy dissipates and people return to their very busy lives, which I understand, and we don't continue the conversation, then maybe it was all for naught, because the conversation has to be continued. And some of this other stuff is, maybe it's in the weeds. Like I said, maybe it's evolution, which is not as exciting as a strike, but I actually think in the long term, it's more important.
Superintendent, I really appreciate your time. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
Superintendent Austin Buettner joined me earlier this week to discuss the legacy of the deal to end the LAUSD teacher strike, which took place 1 year ago this month. We'll be back in a minute to read your comments and hear from the leader of the teachers union, Alex Caputo Pearl. Back in 2 minutes. We're looking back 1 year later on the LAUSD teacher strike. We just heard from LAUSD Superintendent Austin Buettner. Canoga Rich wrote on the AirTalk page, "My wife and I have been in LAUSD for over 20 years as teachers. We spent 6 soggy days in the streets last January without pay, fighting for the exact same cost of living adjustment the district offered to us in the first place, 6%. Since 2008, we'd had one raise. Our strike was anticlimactic, uncomfortable, and damaging, and necessary. Being a teacher shouldn't mean that our backs are always against a wall. Put us there, and we will defend our profession every single time." We just heard from Superintendent Buettner, and now let's hear from the man who was across the table from Mr. Buettner in those negotiations last year. That's UTLA President Alex Caputo Pearl. Mr. Caputo Pearl, thanks so much for being back on the show.
Of course. Good to hear from you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. So a big sticking point during the strike, as you know, were those class size provisions, as we were talking about, smaller class sizes that you won almost across the board, firmer cap on class sizes, so you eliminate the odd class that has 8, 10, 15 kids above the contractual guideline. This was the costliest part of this deal. Has it been worth it, and has it made a difference in people's classrooms?
Yeah, so I've taught for 22 years in South LA, so I know about the conditions in classrooms. And this, we won the biggest educational strike in the United States a year ago. Buettner's defensiveness about saying that they had offered everything that was agreed to is just factually wrong. We won 85% of what we got in the strike while on strike, including enforceable class size caps, which was the last thing that the district gave in on. There are very few districts across the United States that have enforceable class size caps. We have them now. We've seen reductions at all levels, TK through 12, at all grade levels this year because of those caps. And there are more reductions coming between now and 2022 that are part of the agreement. We also got more librarians and more counselors, which have now been hired. We want improvements in special education that were not agreed to before the strike. We want a community schools model, investment in schools to bring in the community more. And frankly, about the pay increase, the second to last thing that the district gave in on was we backed them off of a takeaway on our health care in exchange for the pay increase. So that is very significant, that
we defended our health care during the strike.
Yeah, there were...
In addition to that, the ripple effect went up to Sacramento, as you know. It was because of the LA and the Oakland strikes that Gavin Newsom ultimately signed three pieces of legislation that we had gone 25 years without having on charter schools, making local districts have the discretion to reject charter schools, and taking away some of the loopholes on charter schools plus accountability measures. So there's a huge amount that was won during the strike, both in L.A. and across up into Sacramento and across the state.
Yeah. Genevieve in downtown L.A. writes, I'm a literacy coach at Edwin Markham Middle School in Watts. And as a result of the new contract, the school has a librarian, which has made a big difference for the school. One of the things that you mentioned there, Mr. Caputo-Pearl, about things that you won in the strike. You also mentioned the charter school pieces. And I think what was remarkable about the aftermath of the strike was that you were able to bury the hatchet not only with Superintendent Buettner and move forward with Measure EE, a parcel tax to a proposal that would have funded schools to fund the strike agreement, but also you teamed up with charter school advocates in hope of passing the measure. I'm wondering what your lesson is from that measure, because it did not ultimately pass. It didn't go forward. And I'm wondering what your takeaway is from that. Why did the unity from the strike not translate into that parcel tax proposal?
Well, a couple of things. Funding, getting more funding to our schools when we're 43rd out of 50 among the states in per pupil funding is common sense. It doesn't take burying a hatchet to do something that's common sense. We're still very much against the privatization of our public schools, and we continue to fight the charter industry on that. A few other things that were won during the strike were green space on campuses, more protections for district schools against charter co-location. So a whole bunch of things. One of the things that I hope Buettner is not going to be defensive on moving forward is the district has not met its marks on school nurses, and we're back in negotiations on school nurses to make sure that we hit those marks. And the district has not done what it needs to do to reduce standardized testing. So we're gearing up for a fight about that. In particular, on the Measure EE piece, Schools and Communities First is the statewide measure that we've been working with community organizations for over the last 10 years. And it's different in three very key ways from Measure EE. And this one is that it is entirely progressive. It is only hitting corporate commercial property that has been jumping through tax loopholes for 40 years. No hits on homeowners, renters, etc. Second, we have time to build for this. With Measure EE, we didn't have time. Here, we've had 10 years, and we've got the coming year to really escalate. And third, it's an entirely different electorate in November 2020.
And that ballot measure coming your way to close commercial property tax loopholes, potentially, depending on what happens with the labor unions that are backing it. Thank you to Alex Caputo-Pearl of United Teachers Los Angeles for joining us 1 year after their historic strike.